Just want to dedicate this evening's Divrei Torah to the memory of Joseph K. Miller, Yosef ben Aaron Shmuel Hashem Yikom Demo. Tonight's shiur was sponsored by Yordana and Jeffrey Miller, and we hope that his neshama will have an aliyah. Of course, so much of the Dvarim Shebekdusha that go on in the shul are a schus for your father's neshama, and we hope that this will add to that as well. So I got such a thought-provoking shaila this week that I have to say I am very excited to talk about. There was a member of Hatzalah who woke up in the morning on his way to shul. He was called for a medical emergency. He hears it on the radio. It ended up taking a lot longer than he had anticipated. He treated the patient, then he transported the patient to the hospital, settling the patient and the family into the hospital, making sure the emergency room was taking care of them. Lemaisa, the bottom line was, he missed Shachris. Now, of course, that was the right thing to do because he is considered an osik b'mitzvah. He's involved in saving a life in pikuach nefesh. And of course, that was what he should have done. That afternoon, when he was at work, he was pressured on time. He had a lot going on. He had meetings at night. He wouldn't be able to go out. So he went to a plag minyan, which means he davened mincha before the plag. He davened mariv right after the plag mincha. And then he went back to the office to finish up all of his work. After he finished davening mariv, he realized that he had not put on tefillin that morning. He was in the hospital. He was taking care of the patient. He totally forgot. By the time he got back, it was already past the zman of shachris. He didn't think, I should go back to shul and at least put my tefillin on. So his shaila was, he called him and he wants to know, now he already davened mariv, but it's still daytime outside. So would he be allowed to put on his tefillin now after he already davened mariv? Now maybe you'll say, once you davened mariv, now it becomes tomorrow. Is that really the case? I find this to be a beautiful, magnificent, and very exciting shaila. And there are so many different places to go with this. So let's start with the simplest piece of it all. And that is, what is the proper zman to daven mincha and mairiv every day? What's the story with these plag minyanim? So let's start with that, because that's the easier part. And then we'll move on to the parts that are a little more complicated and a little bit more complex. So we have a Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us, according to one opinion, that tfilos keneged karbanos tiknum, that the structure, the formula of the tfilos were based off of the karbanos. So every day they had a karban tamid shel shachar, they had a karban that was brought in the morning, Kaban Tarban Shamlein Harbayim, there was a karban that was brought in the afternoon, and therefore we have the tefillah of Shachris, and we have the tefillah of Mincha. So what is the most preferred time to daven Mincha every day? So the Gemara has a discussion, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that the best time to daven is at the time that we refer to as Mincha Ketana. What does Mincha Ketana even mean? Let's just give an overview of a halachic day to try to understand what we're talking about. Every halachic day, we assume, has 12 halachic hours. Now, how can that be? Sometimes the sun rises earlier, sometimes it rises later, sometimes it sets earlier, sometimes not. So how can it be that every single halachic day is 12 hours? The answer is, the Shulchan Aruch explains, it's what we refer to as sha'os zmanios. Basically, you take all the daylight hours of the day, whatever time of year it is, and we divide it into 12. So sometimes that means an hour of the day is going to be 78 minutes, and sometimes it means an hour is only going to be 40 minutes. Right? Does that make sense? That's sha'os zmanios. So says the Gemara, when you have the day, so 6 hours into the day is referred to as chatzos, halfway through the day. 6 hours into the day is called chatzos. The end of the day, the 12th hour, is called shkia. That's the end. That's the end of the day. The beginning of the day is neitzachama, is when the sun rises. So you have neitzachama at the beginning, hour one. You have shkia sachama is hour 12. I'm oversimplifying, but that's basically what it is. In the middle of the day is chatzos. Okay, obviously you're not allowed to daven mincha before chatzos. Chatzos is midday, and mincha has to be done from midday and on. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to daven mincha within the first half hour after chatzos either. If you daven mincha at that time, talk to your rabbi who knows a lot, because it's a hard question and it's not so easy to answer. So that's the first piece. So we have to wait until at least a half hour after chatzos to start davening mincha. How many hours do we have left to the day now? 5.5 hours. Now, we split up the last 6 hours of the day from chatzos till the end. We split that up, and we have what we refer to as mincha gedola, which is right away after the half hour after chatzos, you can start davening mincha then. Or mincha ketana. What is mincha ketana? Mincha ketana is when you are 9.5 hours into the day. Now, where do we come up with this arbitrary number, and why is it referred to as mincha ketana? Mincha ketana means there's a short, katan means small, there's a short span of time before the shkia. You're 9.5 hours into the day. That means you have how many hours left till the 12th hour? not so long, 2.5 hours. So it's mincha ktana because there's a very short time span that is left, which allows you to daven mincha. That is the most opportune and preferred time for a person to daven mincha every single day. Why at that hour? Who arbitrarily decided that? The answer is because in the Beis HaMikdash, that is when they used to offer the Karban Tamid Shalbein HaArbayim. At 9.5 hours into the day, that was like the end of the workday. That's when they did it. And that wrapped up all their kavanas for the day. And that was it. Kohanim left afterward and they didn't have to do much more avoda. Everything was basically finished. 9.5 hours into the day is when you're supposed to daven mincha. B'di'eved, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you don't want to daven mincha 9.5 hours because you're afraid you're going to forget or it's more convenient to daven earlier, there's a minyan, then you can already daven mincha at mincha gedola, which is at 6.5 hours into the day. So that's mincha gedola, mincha ketana. Are there situations when we would say that even lechatchila you can daven at mincha gedola? Or do you say, no, a person should really strive to daven mincha ketana every day, 9.5 hours into the day? The answer to that is the Shulchan Aruch gives a few examples. Number one, hayotze laderech. If you're going to be going on the road later on, you're not going to have the presence of mind to be able to daven properly. You won't be able to have kavana. Then, of course, you should daven mincha earlier at mincha gedola. Or if a person needs to have a suda gedola, I'm going out to a wedding, and I'm not going to be able to daven properly there, then, of course, I should daven earlier. The Shulchan Aruch gives that example. And another example, if somebody has the opportunity to daven with a tzibur, and the tzibur is only davening at 1:30, not at 4 o'clock, so then I should daven at 1:30 as opposed to 4 o'clock, and that is even lichatchila. We would tell someone that is what you should do, because it's more important to daven with a minyan than to daven later. Okay, so we know when you're supposed to daven mincha. What is the latest time to daven mincha every day? So it sounds like a silly question. What's the latest time to daven every day? Everybody says the shkia. That is only one opinion in the Gemara. That is only one opinion in the Gemara. The Gemara, according to the Chachamim, says you could daven mincha every day until Laila, which is basically Shkia Sachama. However, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that no, you have to finish davening mincha by Plag HaMincha. What is Plag HaMincha? Who made up that term? We had 12-hour days. The whole morning is morning. Midday is Chatzos. From Chatzos and on is Mincha time. What's Plag HaMincha? We spoke about Mincha Gedola, Mincha Ktana. What's Plag? Plag HaMincha is 9.5 hours into the day, we said, is Mincha Ktana. Now, how many hours do you have left? Jason told us we have 2.5 hours left. You split that in half, that's Plag HaMincha. So it means an hour and a half left to the day is called Plag HaMincha. Rabbi Yehuda says, once you're at Plag HaMincha ready, the day's over. It's already nighttime, it's already, the sun is already basically setting, you have only an hour and 15 minutes left. This wouldn't make sense that we should consider that day anymore. That's the cutoff point. If you didn't daven mincha by then, too late. Says the Gemara, this is the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. How do we paskin? How do we paskin? Now everybody says, what? So really, are you sure about that?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. So it's interesting. It's interesting. You're not sure? Okay. So it's interesting. Yes. So the Gemara says, so we're all familiar. You have to daven mincha before the shkia. Says the Gemara, not so fast. We have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, and we have a very unusual psak in the Gemara. Da'avid kemar avid, u'da'avid kemar avid. Says the Gemara, if you want to follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that's fine. And if you want to follow the Chacham's opinion, also fine. Very strange. That's usually not the way the halacha goes. And the Shulchan Aruch says the same thing. You have a right to follow either the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda or the opinion of the Chachamim. And that is very, very surprising. Now, the only thing that the Shulchan Aruch says is that even though it says, da'avid kemar avid, da'avid kemar avid, even though that's true, that you can follow either Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, you're not allowed to flip-flop. So you have to decide. Either you're a Rabbi Yehuda man or you're a Chachamim man. We respect everybody, but what kind of Jew are you? Do you believe that the day ends at Plag HaMincha and that's it? Or do you believe that the day ends at Shkia and that's it? And you can't go back and forth. You have to make a decision what kind of person you are, and that's going to be the way you are moving forward. And if you're a Rabbi Yehuda man and you believe that the day ends at Plag, that means you have to daven Mincha before Plag, and it also means you're allowed to daven Ma'ariv right after Plag. If you're a Chachamim man, that means you have until the Shkia to daven Mincha every day, but it also means you're never allowed to daven Ma'ariv before the Shkia either. Okay, so that is the basic, very important machlokas that we need to be aware of. And again, as we said, the Beis Yosef writes, you have to choose what kind of Jew you're going to be. You can't flip-flop every day and decide you're going to go back and forth. Now, if I'm usually not so mindful to daven mincha before the plag, I daven mincha before the Shkia, whatever, I figure out sometime in the afternoon, I daven mincha. Are there times when I'd be allowed to daven Maariv after the Shkia, before the plague? We just said, if I'm after the plague, before the Shkia, I'm a Jew that follows the Chachamim, which means I give myself unto the Shkia. Are there ever times when I would say I would be allowed to daven Maariv earlier? So this is a very important question. Shulchan Aruch says, if you have a Shasat Chak, or whatever, you're going in for a surgery, you have some kind of emergency, whatever it is, you're not going to be able to daven Maariv later, so then you daven Maariv after the plague. The Acharonim say as well, if you're going to have a tzibur, if you're going to have a minion that davens plague, mincha right before, Maariv right after, then of course that would make sense. If you're not going to be able to get a minion later, which in our neighborhood is irrelevant, because in our neighborhood, we have minyanim all the time, so there's no heter to do this. There would be no reason for us to do that. That would not be allowed. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Shabbos that on Erev Shabbos, we know that we are makdim Shabbos a little bit. We take Shabbos in a little bit early. Why do we do that? Because we want to be yotze the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tosefes Shabbos is more important than Maariv Bizman. And therefore, we would allow you, for the sake of Tosefes Shabbos, we would potentially allow you to daven Maariv even before the Shkia. That is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, now we move on to this Shiloh. So this man davened Plag HaMincha, which means he davened Mincha right before Plag. He davened Maariv right afterward, which means he's holding like who? Rabbi Yehuda Jew. He's a Rabbi Yehuda Jew. Only today. So it's not really right, but he was busy. Shasat Chak, he was busy at night. Whatever it is, he's not going to have time. Today he has too much going on, so he becomes a Rabbi Yehuda Jew today. How does a Rabbi Yehuda Jew daven? A Rabbi Yehuda Jew davens Mincha before the Plag, and he davens Maariv after the plug. Fine. So far, so good. Now he realizes, oh yeah, I daven Mincha, I daven Maariv, and now, is it dark outside yet?
No.
Is it dark outside?
Yes.
No.
No, because
there's no plug. There's no Shiloh, right? He davened Maariv before the Shkia. Are you confused? He davened Maariv before the Shkia. Now he goes outside after Maariv is over, and it's light outside. And he realizes, I forgot to put on my tefillin this morning. So, he davened Maariv already, but it's still light outside. So what does he do? Can he put on his tefillin or not? Now, the question is not a new question. This dates back a few hundred years, to the 1400s, to the Sefer Trumas HaDeshen. The Trumas HaDeshen was at the tail end of the period of the Rishonim, at the very beginning of the Achronim. He was the Gadol of Chachmei Ashkenaz. Many of the Psakim in the Ramah are based on the Trumas HaDeshen. And he asked the following question, Misha Hizid or Shogeg? He says, for whatever reason it is, he gives this exact case. What if somebody has a situation, for whatever reason it is, he davens Maariv early, it's still light outside, and he realizes, I didn't put on my tefillin today. So he doesn't come up with our whole scenario, but somehow it happened. So, is he allowed to put on his talis and tefillin now, when it's already after Maariv, but still light outside? That is the question that he has. Now, he answers, Hecha da adayin hu yom. If it's still light outside, he says, maybe I would argue that we should allow you to do it. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, no. Asur laniach balayla, since we know that you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. Now, why are you not allowed to wear tefillin at night? No, Re'isem Oso is by tzitzis. So why do we not know? So why do we not wear tefillin at night? So this is a big discussion in the poskim. Why do we not wear tefillin at night? Some say because the Torah says miyamim yamima, which means you only wear tefillin during the day. That I think the Yerushalmi says. Others say the reason why it's a din derabanan. What do people do at night? They go to sleep. So when you're going to sleep, you're not going to be able to wear your tefillin because you won't be able to take care of them. Yeah, so it's an issur derabanan to wear tefillin. Chazal said you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. Now, says the Trumas HaDeshen, if you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night and you just daven Maariv, assuming that it's night, otherwise, you wouldn't have been allowed to daven Maariv. So once you daven Maariv, you have now decided it is night. You superimposed onto the daylight hours that night has already set in, and therefore your tefillin opportunity is over. This is a shocking psak of the Trumas HaDeshen. Completely shocking. But you may be shocked to learn that the Shulchan Aruch quotes it verbatim. Shulchan Aruch writes in Simen Lamed, which is Hilchos Tefillin, that if somebody forgets to put on his tefillin and only remembers after they daven Maariv, but it's still light outside, says the Shulchan Aruch, you would not be allowed to put on your tefillin later because once you've davened Maariv, it is considered to be night for you. And once it's night, it's too late. As Chazal say, you're not allowed to wear tefillin balayla. If you look there on the page, interesting, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about to get a lot more interesting. If you look there on the page, you'll see the Elya Rabba and the Pri Megadim disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, and they say, what are you talking about? Chazal said you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night because that's when everyone goes to sleep. No one's going to sleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What's the problem? It's not night outside. And therefore, the Pri Megadim disagrees, and he says you should put on the tefillin. However, he says, because there's a big debate and we have great respect for the Trumas HaDeshen, so don't say a bracha. So don't say a bracha. We don't want to make a bracha levatel, but no reason to be mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin. And that is what my father told me. He said this psak of the Trumas HaDeshen is a pele. It's very surprising. It's very shocking. Even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, he felt the right thing to do is to follow the other achronim, which are the Pri Megadim and the Elya Rabba, who say that we should advise this person to put on the tefillin, but because of safek brachas lahakel, we would tell you not to make a bracha. And that is reminiscent of a Shari Tshuva. A Shari Tshuva writes in Hilchos Sfira Sa'omer, what happens in the following case? I forgot to count Sfira last night. Now I daven Maariv early. And the same thing, right? So what would you say? Can I still count Sfira?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you're not doing it with a bracha.
Oh, so you're not doing it with a bracha. Now, why do we not count with a bracha? Also because, but really, we should count with a bracha. The only reason we don't make a bracha is because we are choshesh for the opinion of the Bahag, who says that there's no reason to make a bracha during the day because each one is a separate mitzvah. Whatever, a whole long story why it is that we don't make a bracha, but it's the same kind of idea. When you have a suffix by Sfira Sa'omer, would you make a bracha then? So the Shari Tshuva brings this case up in Hilchos Sfira Sa'omer and wonders, would you be allowed to count Sfira if you daven Maariv after Plag, but it's still light outside? Or would you say no, once you've daven Maariv, it already becomes night? Now, we turn ourselves to Evan HaEzer. Evan HaEzer is talking a lot about Hilchos Kiddushin and Hilchos Nisuin, Hilchos Gittin. And there, the Rama has in Hilchos Gittin the following halacha. What is the halacha when a couple needs to get divorced? Are there any restrictions about when they're supposed to write the get? Now, that sounds like a strange question. Write the get whenever you want. When somebody schedules a marriage, do they say you can only get married at this time of the day? Or we say, no, get married whenever you want. You can get married whenever you want, except for Shabbos. So, of course, you can't get married on Shabbos, and you can't get divorced on Shabbos. Why not? Says the Gemara, because Xera Shema Yichtov, we're concerned, maybe you're going to write something down. So we don't get married on Shabbos. But outside of that, you can get married any time of the day. Says the Seder Rishonim, there is a discussion as to whether or not you're allowed to write a get balayla. Not the time and place to discuss why, but there is a discussion as to whether or not you're allowed to write a get or administer a get by Laila. The Rama says, we are machmir, and generally, we do not write a get by Laila. Even though the Rama himself says in the Darki Moshe, lo yadati ma'inyan din leget, why would we not allow a get to be done by night? But the Rama says, this is our practice, this is what we do, and we don't allow a get to be written by Laila because of whatever the concern is, but we don't do it at night. Now, says the Rama, what happens in the following case? Somebody is about to get divorced, and you convene everybody to get the get done, and you want to take care of it. And now we realize, oh, we just made a plag minyan so that we wouldn't have to worry. We daven Maariv already, but it's light outside. So would we be allowed to write a get when it's still daytime, but we have already daven Maariv? Same question. Says the Rama, and I'll read you his words in Eben Ezer, Simon Kuf Chav Gimel, Ein legarish balayla, v'im girish balayla, and if you do a get balayla, some say it doesn't work. V'lachein, and therefore says the Rama, im mispalel arvis, if you're ready, daven Maariv, afal pi she'adayin hayom gadol, even though it's still light outside, but once you daven Maariv, you have determined that it is no longer daytime, and therefore says the Rama, you have no right to give the get anymore because we are machmir not to do a get balayla. Once again, a very surprising psak, but that is what the Rama says. A third time where the Rama has it, so we did Arachayim, that's where it is first, in Hilchos Tfilin. We had it in Evan HaEzer in Hilchos Gittin, and now we have Yaradeya in Hilchos Nida. And we know that a woman has to do a Hefsik Tahara in order to start her Shivan Akiyim. She has to establish that she is an Isha Tahora. How does she establish that she's an Isha Tahora? So she does a Hefsik Tahara right before the Shkia to say, now my Yemei Nida are over, and now we're going to start counting the Shivan Akiyim. What happens if a woman forgets to do the Hefsik Tahara before Shkia? So then, tomorrow, she has to do a Hefsik Tahara, and she has to delay everything one day till she starts the Shivan Akiyim. Says the Rama, what happens if a woman davens Maariv? Now, this is a very special woman who davens Maariv, and doesn't just daven Maariv, she's careful to daven Maariv with the plag to make sure to get everything right. And they go ahead and they daven Maariv after Plag HaMincha, but before the Shkia, and now she realizes, I didn't yet do a Hefsik Tahara, which can very easily happen. So what would you say? Is she allowed to do a Hefsik Tahara balayla when it's not really Laila, but I already daven Maariv. So you'll be surprised to hear that the Rama once again quotes the Trumas Hadeshen. That is the same origin that we found by the Tefillin story. And here he quotes the Trumas Hadeshen and he says she can no longer do a Hafsik Tara and she has missed the day and she has to wait till tomorrow. In Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya Hilchos Avelos, once again we find a very interesting halacha. Misha Hispalel Arvis, says the Mechaber, someone who daven Maariv, but it's still daytime outside. And then suddenly a person comes to you and says, I'd like to inform you that your close relative has just passed away. And we already did the burial. I'm sorry you missed it, but now you have to start sitting Shiva. So I already daven Maariv. So can I count this, the last hour of the day, can I count this as the first day of Shiva? Or do you say, no, this counts as tomorrow. And therefore the Shiva only begins tomorrow, not today. It would be great if it could count as now, because I would say I just knocked off a whole day with sitting for 1 hour. But you already daven Maariv. And if you already daven Maariv, maybe we say, as far as you're concerned, it's already tomorrow. So that is the question the Mechaber raises. And he says, if you hear that a relative has passed away at that point, after you already daven Maariv, but it's still daytime, some say that that day would not count. Oso yom eino ola. You wouldn't be able to count that as a day of Shiva. Why not? Why not? Because you, with your Maariv, has already determined that it's no longer today. Now it's already tomorrow. And therefore, he says, the way the Taz writes it, there is, it's trei kuli desasri ahadadi. You would be contradicting yourself. You would basically be saying, I believe that it's tomorrow because that's why I allowed myself to daven Maariv, because obviously it's already Laila, but I want to bifurcate. I want to say it's Laila, but it's not Laila, but it is, but it's not. It doesn't work that way. You decided. Either it's nighttime or it's not nighttime. And if you daven Maariv, that means you have determined that it's nighttime, and that means this day can no longer count as far as the first day of Avelis is concerned. Yeah?
What is Maariv? Is it Arvo? Is it Shemon Esrei? Is it, if you get told during Shema of Maariv, can you still back out?
Interesting question. I don't know. I would assume Baruch Hu.
Or is it Shemon Esrei?
I don't know. I'm saying, you're saying Kriya Shema.
It's probably just when you start Maariv.
Yeah, when you start Maariv. Yeah.
Once
you start Maariv, you're saying you're finished.
You still have to repeat Kriya Shema.
You have to repeat Kriya Shema because Kriya Shema follows a different set of rules. And the Rishonim even are bothered, what do you do about Kriya Shema? How do you take care of Kriya Shema if you daven Maariv early? So there's a three-way machlokas of Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, when you say Kriya Shema Lamita, you have to make sure to repeat all three parshiyas of Kriya Shema, which nobody does. But they say you have to be careful to do that because if you daven Maariv early, you weren't yet to Kriya Shema. Simple as that. That's what some Rishonim say. Other, whatever, it's a big discussion in the Rishonim, how do you deal with Kriya Shema when you daven Maariv early? But the bottom line is, once you start davening Maariv, the assumption is that you have already decided that it's daytime and that it's nighttime, and that's why you allowed yourself to daven. Well, if that's the case, Shiva cannot count once you have already decided it's tomorrow. The Taz in Arachayim, Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, writes a very interesting story that happened. Kahal echad hayalahem be'erev Rosh Hashanah shofar. There was a community that was very well prepared for Rosh Hashanah, as every community should be, and they made sure to have a shofar. It's not like today where everybody has a shofar. It was back then. They had one shofar for the whole town, and they had it ready, and everything was fine. Ubo showed to them. In the middle of the night, a bunch of robbers came in, v'gazlu osam, and they stole the shofar from the shul. Why? Probably just to cause problems to the community. They come the next morning, and everybody's looking for the shofar, and they don't know where it is. But it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. What are we going to do? They can't find the shofar. So they send somebody to go walk as far as they can to another town and figure out how to get us a shofar. Not only for today, we're going to need one again for tomorrow. We have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We have a mitzvah to blow shofar on both days. So the Taz writes that they send a messenger to go find themselves a shofar in a neighboring town. Now, it wasn't so close and it wasn't so easy. And the neighboring town wasn't able to travel on a horse and buggy on Yom Tov. So what am I going to do? I'm walking. Takes me a long time to get there and a long time to walk back. It started raining outside and he had to stop and then he got tired, whatever it is. Turns out he missed the whole first day of Rosh Hashanah. By the time he made it to the community and found himself a shofar, now he starts traveling back. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah, everyone is so depressed. Can you believe it? It's Rosh Hashanah. What kind of Rosh Hashanah is it without a shofar? What's going to be? So what happens? What happens? They decide, you know what? Such a depressing Rosh Hashanah. We have one simple Eitzah. That year, Rosh Hashanah actually fell out on Thursday and Friday. So it was a 3-day Yontif. Thursday, Friday, went straight into Shabbos. They said, we had the worst Rosh Hashanah of our lives because Thursday we didn't blow shofar. We're waiting around the whole Friday. The messenger didn't come back. So Friday, there's no shofar. You know what? Let's at least be Mekabel Shabbos early. At least we'll have Shabbos. So they go on their Mekabel Shabbos early and they daven Maariv. And after the Mekabel Shabbos early and Daven Maariv, in comes the Shliach with the shofar. And he says, hey, what's going on? Why are you davening Maariv? Why did you just daven Maariv? First of all, why didn't you wait for me? And number two, here I am. Now the problem is, says the Taz, what are you going to do? You're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. We all know for two reasons here. You're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos because Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, we don't blow shofar at Dindur Rabbanan because we're afraid Shema Yavirenu. So you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Number two, the problem is that if it's Shabbos, then it's no longer Rosh Hashanah. So what do you do, says the Taz? Oh, so you'll say, oh, so a simple etza, says the Taz, maybe you'll say the Shliach should blow. What's the answer to that? The answer is no. It's similar to what you're saying, but more. If you live in a tight-knit community and there's only one minyan, right, which normally doesn't happen in our communities, but if you live in a community, it happens all the time in camp. I go to camp in the summer, and Camp Simcha, we're there for 2 weeks. So you have all the campers go to daven at the regular minyan, which daven's at 7 o'clock. Let's say the Mekabel Shabbos, early 7 o'clock. Shkia is 8:30. So the girls sing and whatever they do, I don't know what they do. So they have, everybody is there. If you're not a counselor, if your job in camp is just to be a Lego maker or a pottery maker, whatever you do, so you have no responsibility, comes Friday night, you have no responsibility at all. So while all the campers are showering and there's no hot water left in the campus, I'll wait, let them all go to shul at 7 o'clock, and then I'll go shower and do my hair and my makeup at 7:30, 7:45. Shkia is only at 8:15. What's the big deal? No. So what's the problem with that? Problem is, the Shulchan Aruch says, if there's only one minyan, there's one sibur, and the camp is Mekabel Shabbos together, then everybody's Mekabel Shabbos, whether you like it or not. We're all bound by the same thing. So one girl once told me, what do you mean? My parents live in Brooklyn. They're not Mekabel Shabbos till 8:30. I said, your parents in Brooklyn is not your sibur here. You are shayach to one sibur. We're on one campus. There's no other minyan here. So everyone is bound by the same rule. So everyone's Mekabel Shabbos. So this yid, even though he walked from the other town and now he came back and he's the only person in town who has not been Mekabel Shabbos, doesn't matter. The whole community was Mekabel Shabbos. That means Shabbos falls on him as well. And he would not be allowed to do malacha for them. So the question that the Taz raises is, what should they do? On the one hand, you have a mitzvah midoraisa of tkiyas shofar, Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, it's already Shabbos. So what are you going to do? So the Taz writes that he's very torn by this. And then he introduces us to another psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya. Yerodeya Hilchas Mila. The Shulchan Aruch says, what happens if a husband knows that his wife is 9 months pregnant and he's very nervous he's going to miss the minyan? Instead of being nervous that his wife is in labor, he's nervous that he's going to miss the minyan. He doesn't know what to do. So he quickly runs to shul to daven plag mincha ma'ariv. He says, okay, I got mincha out of the way, I got ma'ariv out of the way, it's good, now we can go to the hospital. They go to the hospital, a very quick labor, the baby is born. And now the question is, it's a baby boy, when do you do the bris? Oh, when do you do the bris? So what do you say? 8 days later, how do you count the 8 days? What? Forget Shabbos for a minute. 8 days later, but how do you count the 8 days? Let's say it's on a Monday night. So it's Monday afternoon. So now that he davened Maariv, do you say the baby was born on Tuesday? What?
But it'd be best brought up by the baby, not by the father.
Oh, so the Mechaber says, this is nothing to do with the father. You look outside, when is the baby born? Is the baby born when it's light outside or it's dark outside? I don't care if the father decided to be some chacham and davened Maariv early. That's not my business. The baby was born, and therefore, says the Mechaber, the Yom HaLeida is not talei b'tfila, imispalu mibod yom lo lahakel v'lo lahachmer. It doesn't make a difference when you daven early, you daven late, I don't care. When was the baby born? If the baby was born when it's light outside, then it means the baby's bris is going to be 8 days later from now. And if the baby is born when it's dark outside, that means it's 8 days later from tomorrow. That's the way it goes. So he says, writes the Taz, you see from Bris Mila, that we would not determine the child status of Bris Mila based on when the father davened Maariv. Now, how does that fit into this, says the Taz? Let's translate that halacha into our story here. Let's translate that into our story here. What would you say? The man shows up with the shofar. So, what would you say? 1 second, what would you say, says the Taz? What should we say? Hmm? Go either way. What do you mean, go either way? So here, by a bris mila, what does the Mechaber say by a bris mila? Bris mila doesn't make a difference when the person daven Maariv. As long as it's light outside, it's daytime. I should say the same thing by shofar. Maybe yes, maybe no. He's not sure. Shumas Hadesha, no. Yeah. Trumas Hadeshen said by what? By tefillin, that you can't put on the tefillin. So, surprisingly, the Trumas Hadeshen asked this question, and he says, how do you put all these different things together? How could it be that by Bris Mila, we don't care about day or night? I mean, we don't care about your Ma'ariv, and all of a sudden by tefillin, we do care about your Ma'ariv. And how does shofar fit into that? So this is a very interesting sugya, where you have so many different cases that come together, and do we actually accept this, or do we not? So the Taz writes a big chiddush, and the Taz says, when you're Mekabel Shabbos early, a Kabbalah means I take something upon myself, right? Let's say I'm Mekabel Shabbos, like the Gemara says, there was once a story, I've forgotten the days of which of the Amoraim, Rabbi Yossi maybe, or Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know. So the Gemara tells a story about community was Mekabel Shabbos biyoma de'iva, which means it was Thursday afternoon, it was Friday afternoon, and it was very cloudy outside, and they didn't have watches, and nobody knew exactly what time it was. Everybody assumed it must be already getting dark out. We lost track of time, and all right, it's time to be Mekabel Shabbos. And then, after they were all Mekabel Shabbos, they realized, what do you mean? It's 11 o'clock in the morning. It's just a big rainstorm, and we thought it was nighttime, but it wasn't. So is that Kabbalah Shabbos worthy? Does that work? The answer the Gemara says is, of course not. Why not? Because he can't be Mekabel Shabbos at 11 o'clock in the morning. There's no such thing. So So he writes over here, so the Taz writes, when you're Mekabel Shabbos, it means there's a certain premise that you have when you take that upon yourself. So he says, perhaps you can argue here, this is called a Kabbalah Betos. Had I known that the shofar was coming, I never would have accepted Shabbos. So maybe I could say I undo my Kabbalah Shabbos.
Simply right? Anything. I had to remember I got done filling. I would have never davened
Ma'ariv. Oh. Now, that's the question. Can I say that for everything? When I'm Mekabel Shabbos, the Taz writes, I take something upon myself and I say, this is what I want to do. Whenever I'm Mekabel anything upon myself, I say, let's say I take a nether. Let's say I say, I'm going to eat peanuts every day. Right? Some silly nether a person takes upon himself. Now it turns out that I'm allergic to peanuts. So can I do a Hataras Nedarim? Yeah, why? Because had I known that I was allergic to peanuts, I never would have taken this upon myself. The first day I eat peanuts, I break out in hives and I can't breathe, so obviously there's something wrong. So then I do a Hataras Nedarim. Why? Because when I'm being Mekabel something on myself, it's with an understanding that all of the pretenses are known. But if not, then the whole Kabbalah is off from the first place. That's what Hataras Nedarim is all about. So too over here, says the Taz, when you're Mekabel Shabbos on yourself, it means you're not doing your obligation, you're taking something upon yourself, like a nether. If I'm taking something upon myself, then it has to be with a certain understanding. If it turns out that the shofar showed up later, I never would have been Mekabel Shabbos. By Ma'ariv, it's a different story. There by Ma'ariv, you decided, now it's night. Once it's night, so it's night, that's it. You can't put on the tefillin anymore. That's what the Trumas Hadeshen argues. A very, very interesting sugya. And you find, as we mentioned, just a number of cases. There are more. There are more of these that come up. Would you say, again, would you say it's nighttime? Right. Right. So the question is, what do you do now? The Magen Avraham wonders, I think the Magen Avraham has a discussion. So what do I do now? Now that I already went ahead and davened, right? A dav Ma'ariv. So what am I supposed to do? So now I undid my Ma'ariv? And so now all that is a bracha levatala. Now I go back and daven again later. It's a very interesting question. I think the Magen Avraham has a case somewhere. I couldn't find it today. But I think the Magen Avraham has a case somewhere where he says, let's say a woman lights Shabbos candles, Mekabel Shabbos early, and then realizes, I forgot to do Hafrashas Challah. And I made all these challahs for Shabbos. I don't know what to do. So it happens. It happens every so often. So it depends, says the Gemara, do you live in Eretz Yisrael? Do you live in Chutz La'aretz? Let's talk about Eretz Yisrael for a minute. Chutz La'aretz is different. I live in Eretz Yisrael where I have an absolute obligation to be mafresh challah. We assume mafresh challah is only midrabbanan in Chutz La'aretz. But let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael, it's deraisa, it's very chamor, and a woman realizes, I was just Mekabel Shabbos, and now I realize I forgot to do the hafresh. So what am I going to do? I can't eat any of the challahs now? What am I going to eat over Shabbos? How can that be? So the Magen Avraham, I believe, discusses that case, and he wants to know, do we have a right to say the same thing? That obviously that was a Kabbalah Betos. Obviously, had I known I wasn't Mafresh Challah yet, and I still have time to do so, I didn't want to be Mekabel Shabbos. It's going to ruin my whole Shabbos not to have Challah. That's a big question. How far do we take it? For what are you allowed to say Kabbalah Betos? What has to be the threshold for a person to be able to say, you know, I really would never have accepted this upon myself if I knew X, Y, or Z. What's the X, Y, or Z, and how important is it? So this is a very, very interesting shaila.
Do you need to do that?
What?
Do you need to do it?